Welcome to the Light Shine Church Sermon Podcast. I'm Organizing Pastor Rob Douglas, and I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly message. We are going to finish off this 10-week series on our responsibility to the creation as people of faith, and I want to propose the idea that we need to offer a new narrative, a more hopeful story to live into. And I want to acknowledge right away that this is no easy task, but I truly believe that God wants us to envision new possibilities and then act on those possibilities as if they were the reality right now, living into the kingdom of God, which is present, but not yet fully realized. Well, experts say that you need optimism for surviving times of crisis. Optimism expects things to turn out okay. Optimism is about attitude. But there is something beyond optimism that is needed to survive a crisis, and that something is hope. Hope may be the very thing we need the most. But unlike optimism, hope requires action and even some risk. We must be willing to pray for and to work for that which we hope. So the question is, how can we have some hope when things seem to be kind of spinning out of control? Well, I think this statistic is really fascinating. 67% of Americans believe that climate change is happening and a significant threat. And yet 65% of us admit to never talking about it. That is a fascinating statistic to me. Like, how can this be? Well, first, climate change has become overly politicized. We talked about this a few weeks ago, or I should say I did. But we've already exposed the lie that environmental stewardship, this is a nonpartisan issue. We all, as Eric said, share the earth as our common home. Second, we're afraid often to talk about climate change because it can amplify our fear and even trigger depression about the current state of things on the planet. This is becoming more and more a reality, by the way. So how do we as people of faith counter polarizing partisanship and this potential sense of fear and dread? Well, one thing to consider is to offer a new and more hopeful story, because our God offers us hope. Hope even in the midst of crisis. Jim Antall, the author of Climate Church, Climate World, that some of us have been reading, says that he believes that hope may be the most important contribution that people of faith can make in helping the world write a new story about a hopeful future for all living things and this planet. No matter how bad things may seem or get, a new story is waiting to be told. Eric just did that for us. He just told us a new story and how he is living into that story. We are to search and to pray, asking God to reveal these new possibilities for doing justice and for loving our neighbor better. Well, during a time when the ancient Israelites were exiled to Babylon, a time of crisis and great suffering for multiple generations of people, the prophet Jeremiah told a new story. And that story was a story of hope. He never, however, said that the road was going to be easy, quite the contrary. Hear this brief word of hope spoken by the prophet Jeremiah to the exiled Israelites living in a foreign land. This is what he wrote. He said, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, in real estate, they say location, location, location. In the Bible, we might say context, context, context. This passage, it was a little risky to preach, I think, on this topic because it has been misapplied in a couple of different ways that I want to be careful not to do. Well, first, the passage does not say that God has a perfect plan for your life, and if only you are obedient, that will unfold perfectly. In fact, this passage is not about individuals at all. It is written to an entire group of people living in exile, and that is important to keep that context in mind. Second, Jeremiah does not say that if you're obedient, God will shower you with prosperity in this world and that things will never go wrong. In fact, in this passage, if we read more, he never sugarcoats the truth that life is often very difficult individually and for us collectively. What Jeremiah does actually say is that the exile would last 70 long years, 70 years, and that many of that current generation would never make it back home in their lifetime. So this word of hope is going to be a challenging one for sure. Jeremiah served as the mouthpiece or the prophet of God before and during the Babylonian exile. Pre-exile, he was often ignored, ridiculed. He was even jailed for his ministry of warning. We talked about warning and being sentinels when it comes to this climate change thing and not being afraid to tell the truth. Well, that got him in some trouble. Israel, we remember, had been dominated by two different empires, the Egyptians and then the Babylonians, who expelled many Israelites from their land and actually relocated them in a faraway place that was not their home. Now, just imagine for a moment that you and your family were conquered and dragged to a faraway place, away from the land that you loved, away from everything that was familiar, away from the place that God had promised you and your descendants. What story might you be telling under those circumstances? Well, when I reflected on that question, I'm pretty certain that the story that the ancient Israelites were telling in exile was not a hopeful one. Jeremiah, however, speaking for God, offers the people a new story, a story that he wanted them to take in, a new story that could transform them from the inside out, a new story to tell, a story that said that as bleak as things might appear at the time, because of God, there was this sliver of hope for the future. I'm going to share two surprise learnings about Jeremiah's new story of hope. First, God called them to be faithful and obedient and promised, this is a fascinating thing, that God even promised to bless them while they were still in exile. In one of the more surprising and beautiful passages in all of Scripture, just a few verses before the one that I read, God tells these exiles to do the strangest thing, the most unexpected thing in all of Scripture. These people are in a foreign land in exile, and God tells them, build vineyards, plant gardens, marry, and have children, even in this foreign, faraway land. God is telling them to seek the well-being, what Scripture says, the shalom of the city, the well-being of the place and the people that they found themselves. God said, pray for your Babylonian neighbors. And as you might imagine, this was not the story that the exiles expected, or frankly wanted to hear. Jeremiah sounds a little bit like Jesus, doesn't he? Who said, bless your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jeremiah says, make the best by seeking the well-being of your neighbors. Because even in this crisis situation, God wanted both the Israelites and the Babylonians to prosper and have a hopeful future. The second surprising thing of this new story that was emerging coming from Jeremiah was this, that after a 70-year period of exile, God promised to bring them home. 70 years is a long time. This exile was serious. It was painful to be displaced from the promised land. But this suffering, God says, would not be permanent. It would not be permanent. God had a plan for their return. This future looked bright because they knew finally, they understood that God had not abandoned them. This is what they thought in the midst of their crisis. They could not find God's graciousness and blessing, God's hand in their daily life. Here, Jeremiah tells them, God's not abandoned you, but still working even in the midst of this crisis. Now, this hope certainly looked different from what they expected. In a sense, hope was deferred, as many of them would not get to experience the end result. Well, I'm intrigued by this passage from Jeremiah 29. I do want to be careful not to wholesale apply it to our context today, because that's not the purpose for which it was written. That said, I find it fascinating that in this time of crisis and immense suffering, that God told them not to give up. Don't quit. God's telling them, don't sit this one out. Don't simply wish for a return to better days. Rather, God said that in this time of crisis, that the people should pray, that they should work hard, that they should live life and do it all in faithfulness and obedience to God, seeking the well-being of all people, including even their enemies. This was the new story that was unfolding in a very difficult situation. This was the story that helped them see that God had not abandoned them at all, like they had previously thought. In fact, God was loving them and even prospering them in the midst of the most unlikeliest circumstances. This new story that the prophet was telling helped them to see new possibilities. It helped them to see an alternative future. I wanted to think of someone in our country's history who told a new story. A new story about an alternative future, one that did not yet exist, but one that was hoped for. And the thing that came to mind was Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. Naturally, I asked the question, what was Dr. King's dream? Here is the story, the new story that he was telling in his dream speech. I went back through it, and here's the dream, the alternative future that he was trying to speak into existence. He said that we would live out our creed that all people are created equal. He said that sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners would be able to sit down together at the same table of brotherhood. He said the state of Mississippi would be transformed from a state of oppression to a state of freedom and justice. His dream was that his four children would live in a nation that would not judge them by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He said that his dream was that little black boys and girls would be able to join hands with little white boys and girls, and that every valley would be exalted, every hill made low, and that the glory of the Lord would be revealed to everybody. This was the alternative future that he put forth. This was his dream. That was the new story about a more hopeful future where things would be vastly different than what people could see around them at the time. This was the new story that we today are still trying to live into. In his speech, he implored people, very similar to what Jeremiah was doing as the mouthpiece or the prophet of God, to work for this dream, to pray for it, to struggle for it, and even, he said, be willing to be jailed for it. It's a hopeful story that continues to motivate millions of people all over the world today because it posits a more hopeful future, a future where things will eventually be as God intended them to be. So what is the new story? The dream that people of faith need to tell today when it comes to the destruction of the very creation that God put us in charge of? What is the new story, the dream that we need to tell about the impact that this environmental issues, that these environmental issues take on the largest toll on the world's most vulnerable populations? The ones who did the least to cause the problems and the very ones who have the least resources to deal with it. What's the new story? What is the dream that is trying to emerge today? The one that needs to be told, the one that needs to be prayed for, the one that needs to be worked for and struggled for. Can we envision a future where all people, where people all over the world actually come together to work for a better future for our children and our grandchildren? I personally believe that we must and that we can. I want to finish with just a few thoughts on how we might better tell this new story. First, any new story is going to require some departures from the old story. It will stare reality in the face with courage. It will acknowledge that the existential threat of climate change is real. It will be willing to risk exposing the lies because the path that we are on is no longer sustainable. We'll have to shift the narrative by bringing people together. The second thing that I think about here is that a new story is going to require partnering with God in order to become champions of this dream. We will need to ask good questions and then discern together, what is the Holy Spirit up to in the world today? What is God inviting us as individuals, as families, even as a collective or a church? What is God inviting us into? What are the new possibilities for doing justice and for loving our neighbors better? Where we see God at work in this new story, we will need to join it. In that book that some of us have been reading, Climate Change, Climate Church, Climate World, Jim Antall says that we cannot accept God's invitation to help create this new story unless we're willing to take action in order to embrace the preferred future that we want to see. So what action, what one step of faith are you willing to take to tell and to live into a new and more hopeful story? I'm going to finish with just a few characteristics that I just threw them up on the screen because I'm going to do them so fast and they are worthy of much more consideration. Here are a few things that I think this new story is going to have to do. It's going to have to put resilience in place of growth in order to help create a more sustainable future. I think it's going to have to put collaboration in place of consumption that works together to solve problems. I think it's going to have to take wisdom and put that in place of just progress in order to make decisions that benefit everybody, not just some. It's going to have to place take balance in place of addiction, moderation in the place of excess, vision in place of convenience. That's one that I need to focus on personally right there. That one got me. It's going to take accountability in place of disregard for others, putting others first. Hard to do. It's going to require self-giving love in place of self-centered fear. And so I'm curious, what new story is emerging for you? Is this story that is emerging, is it more hopeful? Jeremiah told a new story in a dark time of Israel's history, and it reminded the people that God had not given up on them, that God was in fact active and at work among them, continuing to make things right, blessing them even when they least expected it. And I wonder, is it possible that God is doing the same thing for us today? Does God still have a plan like this? A plan for our welfare? A plan to not do harm? A plan to give us a future with hope? If I'm right, then it's incumbent upon each of us to pray, to work, and to struggle in order to make these new possibilities a reality. So what new story is emerging for you? What's your dream for the planet and for its inhabitants? How will you tell this new story as a person of faith? How will you live into it in order to help make it a reality? This is our big part to play. So let's play it well. Amen. Friends, I'm going to share my version of what Eric did, a few things that Katie and I do around here to just better live into this new story and to be better stewards of all that God has left us in charge of. After that, we'll have a short moment of reflection with a couple questions for you as we continue in worship. One small change that I'm making is to eat less meat. Methane produced by cattle and those large giant cattle ranches is one of the leading greenhouse gases trapped in the atmosphere. So I'm making an attempt to eat less meat, maybe going 2 days a week without eating meat. Easy for Katie, who's a vegetarian, a little more challenging for me, but I am making an attempt. Like some others at Lightshine, here's our composter that we use to take scraps and make new soil that we use to grow our own vegetables. Well, something that Katie and I wanted to do for a long time is go solar. And we decided a long time ago that when we had to replace the roof, we would install solar panels to be less reliant on fossil fuels and more reliant on the natural resources that we have an abundance of here in Southern California. Well, this year the roof leaked. We had to replace the roof, so in a month we will be going solar. Something else that Katie and I are doing, we are finding organizations here locally in our community that are consistent with our values to take care of the things that God has created. One of those organizations that we support is Los Padres Forest Watch, who does great work right here in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. So that's another way that we're trying to live into our commitment to be better stewards of the earth and its resources. Another one of our commitments to use less water and to welcome local animals and birds onto our property is to landscape with native drought-tolerant plants. Here is a lovely manzanita that the birds and hummingbirds go completely crazy over, which is pretty cool. One of our commitments is to use less water, and one way we do that is I installed this system here, like Sharon, three barrels that were all free, given out by the city of Thousand Oaks, and then I installed this gutter up here to catch the rainwater off of our roof, and this rain chain which drops it into the three barrels, and we can use these three barrels of rainwater to water all of our potted plants in the backyard during the warm summer months. So it reduces our water use pretty significantly. Well, these are just a few of the ways that Katie and I kind of lean into being better stewards of God's creation. And I kind of want to finish with where we started 10 weeks ago with Psalm 24:1. Just this reminder that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, and that we will take better care of that in which we delight.